Blog Talk Radio.
My friends, to where the music never ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Lulu, and Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Join us 1 p.m. on Wednesdays for Keeping It Brief, and then again later that evening with Turn Up the Heat with the Art of Seduction. Thursdays are split between Intercraft, A Soul and Art with Richard and Neutron, and Double Helix with Aphasian and Dex. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. Saturdays are split with Gray Eyes Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wilds, bringing you Bad Company and exploring Ekphrasia with Captain Bitsu and Dan. And if you're looking for a little more edgier realm, then check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Tuesday through Sunday mornings. Take a walk on the wild side Tuesdays. Join Jeremy as he brings you the headliner's ball on Thursdays. Break on through with Pam on Friday. Saturday, join Faziana and Babla as they teach you the fine art of being part sinner, part saint. And every other Sunday, join Robert M. as he brings you the solace of shadows. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. Good evening, Pam.
Hello, Rex. Oh, I'm doing great. Looking forward to hanging out with you. Maybe some other cool poets, you know, delving into some poetry. And, well, life is good. I had an awesome turkey dinner today with two out of my four kids. We've been having some nice weather for this time of year. Yesterday it was up into the 50, and did a little bit of reading and writing, and what can I say, just nice and chill. So how about you? How are you doing?
Doing fine. Rained all last night and most of this morning, but now it's turned out to be a good day, 65, so.
Oh, that's, you know, I like temperatures right around 65 to 70. Those are my favorites. But the rain, you know, well, hey, at least the rain is good for the ground, good for, you know, cleaning things up, but not so much if you want to get outside. Good time to stay indoors, that's for sure. And awesome choice for a band to feature. Very cool. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Let's see. They were formed in 83 with Kiedis on vocals, Flea on bass, Slovak on guitar, and Irons on drums. By 84, they'd gotten a record contract. Funny thing was, Slovak and Irons also had gotten a record contract with another band, What Is This, at the time. So they split, and Sherman and Martinez filled their roles for their debut. Come 89, they changed up a little bit again. Sherman and Martinez were out, and Frusciante and Smith joined the mix. Then Frusciante left in 92, 93. Dave Navarro joined them in 95. The band had some problems struggling with addiction during the 90s. Frusciante rejoined again in 98, left in 09, rejoined them again in 19. Their 1999 Californication album became their biggest seller, something like 16 million. Total, they've sold 120 million records. They've set records for the most, just about everything on alternative, on the Billboard's alternative songs chart, with the most singles at 14, cumulative weeks at number one, 85, top 10 songs, 25. They've got six Grammys, into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2012, Hollywood Walk of Fame in 22, and that's just about all. Oh, they're still playing now, as a matter of fact. Put out, I think, their 17th, 18th, and 19th albums over the last couple of years, so they're still kicking it.
Absolutely, still kicking, still energetic and in good shape, and oh my goodness, the lead singer and the however you pronounce his last name, and the bass guitarist Flea are the two members that have been in the band consistently throughout all their years.
Yeah, they originally, between those two, Slovak and Irons, they were classmates at Fairfax High back in 83.
Yes, yes. You know, one of the things I really like about Red Hot Chili Peppers, is they are one of those bands that really made the mixing of genres work. You know, the fact that they combined rap and rock, you know, and I know people have done it before, you know, but I really think that there are some people who just can't pull it off. But they made, in my humble opinion, they made the mixing of music genres really, really work well.
Well, it was the eclectic range of their stylings, from taking the rock, the funk rock, hip-hop rock, and rap rock, and rolling them into a theme that worked well for them. Like, they started that right from the first album on, so it's something that's rooted in their foundation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I was looking at some of their, like, influences, and ironically, one of their influences is actually Jimi Hendrix, whose birthday is today. Did you know that?
Yep. In fact, shout out to Dana. She's running a contest on Jimi Hendrix's birthday. For Jimi Hendrix's birthday.
She is, yes. I saw that. Very cool. Very cool. That is awesome. That is awesome. Oh, man. Did you get a chance to watch that drum off video that I sent you?
No. A drum off video?
Okay. Well, when you get a chance, watch it. I'm not usually, honestly, a big fan of Will Ferrell, but him and the drummer to the band we're featuring tonight, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Chad Smith, they look so much alike, and they both play the drums, and it's this clip from Jimmy Fallon, and they have this drum off. And like I said, I'm not usually a fan of Will Ferrell, but this, it's just so funny and so entertaining that I highly recommend, when you get a chance, you check it out. And it is just strange how much those two look alike. They could be like brothers.
Well, that says a lot considering what Will Ferrell looks like.
Yeah, right? But it is a fun shape. Like I said, I think this was a really great choice you made. And, you know, you're always got the, you just always have that knowledge that, you know, that's fun to hear about. Step Brothers was a fun movie. What's that, Rex?
I didn't know that about. So these guys, I had to research, and I didn't know that about Dave Navarro being part of the group at one point. So.
Oh yeah, Dave Navarro. What other band has he been in? Or was he been something else? Right? What am I blanking out on?
Yes, he has.
I don't know.
He also had a reality show on tattooing.
Oh, okay. He is so good looking, or at least he used to be. I don't know if he is anymore. I'm sure he is.
Well, he like the rest of the gang. I think he had a heroin problem too back in the day. So.
Okay. Now I know. I knew it was on the tip of my tongue. Jane's Addiction. He was in the band Jane's Addiction.
Appropriate.
Yes.
We're talking about it.
Yep. All right. Well, what do you say, Rex? Do you want to go ahead and get the ball rolling, or do you have something more you'd like to say?
Nope. We can ring in the chimes and kick it off.
All right. Well, we will first start out with the song Black Summer by Red Hot Chili Peppers. All right, and here we go.
A lazy rain am I, the skies refuse to cry. Cremation takes its piece of your supply. The night is dressed like noon, a sailor spoke too soon. And China's on the dark side of the moon.
Not a poem link, that is the link for the show. Let me go ahead and grab the first poem link. So, all right. Up first, we have Embracing Loving the Tray's Thousand Me by Patty Mike. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Embracing Loving the 3,000 Me by Patty Mike. In here lies the wound in my chest, the absence of my leaf not giving me relief, scatter on the wind, stealing my end from my sight. Do or do not, there is no try. unable to allow me time, the peace to give it all a rest. The memories that remain splattered on my walls, shackled from my fall, may scrub out my stains. Still, I'm the one needing to take hold back, pulling full stop on the out-of-control reins. I'm finished trying to catch all my drops of saline in the rain, getting through, pushing to the bane of all my pain. Nothing will ever be the same. It's my love that must be tamed to cast aside any shame, like an old and comfortable coat placed on a boat. Throw out that same old worn-out piece of shirt. Don't be so curt. Set up those tires and light the fires. Ignite this arrow and munk and smut that fecal matter away. Set ablaze the rage. Help me turn this page. Grant me a renewed day. Get me back in the game. I may have fallen off that horse, of course, but I'm the one that's going to get back up and eat that horse. Use the force. Then when it's all said and done, I'm the one that has much left to do is watch the dove carry forth that love and embrace that 3,000. Echo the sound, spread it neatly all around, put back the cut songs and remove from the mouth more than I can count, taking away the doubt. Bring back the noise until the victory becomes my voice again. Now let me see the art, set apart the beauty, the fastest, longest, strongest, greatest, me, 3,000. And boom.
Great read there, Rex. I was trying to look up what the word mucking smut meant, and I'm not coming across a consistent answer, though I did see one website where a person said it was Swedish for, now I forget what it was Swedish for. Let's see if I can find this. Mucking smut. I like the sound of that word, though. Super late, not Swedish, Norwegian, super late, but if you're curious at all, it's a Norwegian word for food of the monk. But I think somehow it has another meaning to it, because I know there's a lot of people searching for that same thought. But anyways, I really like this write. It's got a nice offbeat, a fun offbeat rhyme to it. You know, great hard-hitting emotive lines. The main message that it comes across to me is the idea of somebody who's tired of holding it all together, you know, especially with lines like, I'm finished trying to catch all my drops of saline in the rain, gutting through, pushing to the bane of all my pain. You know, the idea of, you know, I'm tired of holding my tears back. And I also really like, throw out that same old worn out piece of shirt. Don't be so curt. Set up those tires and light the fires. Ignite this arrow and munkin schmutt, which, by the way, still a favorite word. That fecal matter away, set ablaze the rage. Yeah, I like how this speaks on the whole idea. Those lines there speak on the whole idea of no longer being willing to put up with other people's shit. There's a real sense of gathering that strength in the end lines, you know, and learning, as it says, until the victory becomes my voice again. I like that line, until the victory becomes my voice again, until I learn to speak up for myself, until I learn to, and I think the title goes back to that too, embracing loving the trays, thousand me, the idea of loving every single part of yourself, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So excellent write by Patty Mike, and I hope sometime we can get him to call in. That would be awesome.
Yes. Absolutely. Honestly, so. Well, I did find that munkin smut is the Swedish art of death cleaning, which is the art of decluttering one's house, home, life, so to speak. That sort of having so much on tap that everything kind of draws in on itself. So all that stuff you collect over life, you got stashed away in God knows all manner of crooks and crannies, plus the shelves, boxes, in the attic, in the basement. The idea is to declutter your life, get rid of the detritus that is no longer useful, so to speak. It doesn't help in any way. You call it death cleaning, which is actually kind of funny. It's like, hey, why wait to death to have your family clean it up when you can do it now? Have at it and enjoy yourself.
So in other words, yeah, do the cleaning before somebody dies. I like it. I mean, other than the fact that it involves cleaning, you know, all good to me.
Collect stuff over 50, 60, 70 years. They teach, hey, do it early, get it out of the way. You don't have to worry about all that mess. And even for someone else to take care of for you.
Yeah, I've learned in my life not to collect stuff. But, yes, I have seen my stepmother was a good example of a person like that who collected everything and anything she could find, especially from secondhand stores. I really like what you had to say.
Well, he hits on that notion right in the middle. Let's see, what was it? Cast aside any shame, like an old and comfortable coat placed on a boat. Yeah, that same old worn out piece of shirt. Don't be so curt. Set up those tires, light the fires, ignite this arrow, and munkensmut that fecal matter away. Set ablaze the rage. Help me turn this page. Grant me renewed name. Get me back in the game. The idea of unloading one's physical and mental bullshit. Lighten the load so they can actually move on, as opposed to always being stuck with those little mementos that bring one down and keep one from actually moving forward.
I like that. The idea, yeah. And that makes sense. The whole idea of those things that keep us from moving forward. It's almost like both the representation of a physical cleaning up and a mental, emotional cleaning up. So very cool. All right. Ready for the next poem?
Yeah.
All right. Up next we have Winter of Discontent by Pee-wee Cousin. And it goes like this. Must have been on April 22, I opened my eyes up to see you, had tried to hibernate through lonesome days of my gloom. A great bear, he prowls the sky, and Orion takes him out for a ride. I tried so hard to please you, but I must have died, to ride out and pay rent, or to escape this discontent, and it's feeling rather lonely in here again. In some Herculean flame flashed a man without a name, but everyone I still know is looking for the way. It's been such a long time since I've had a friend trying to kill my winter of discontent, and I feel that I'm never going to meet you again, just trying to kill this winter of discontent. Alas, poor Yorick sparks a doob, black the windows of my room. I've been living inside my season of doom to get away from me and misanthropist apathy. Here's another list of some ancient Greeks. Demeter and Persephone, Hector and his greed, wrath of Achilles sent Odysseus to see. Agamemnon's a moron, Perseus and the Gorgon, been a long time coming, just to be gone. It's been such a long time since I've seen a friend trying to kill my winter of discontent, and I feel that I'm never going to see you again, just trying to kill this winter of discontent. Some heroine, my friend, and plenty of oxycontin plan to bring miserable winter to its end. Next thing I know, I awoke to see you, and now I'm here, and there's nothing to do but go sailing on the sea of my morose insanity. Maybe dream of some things I'll never see. Maybe sing a song or write me a poem. I'll know where I'm going soon as I'm gone. Bing Calliope, the muse, to hang with Scooby-Doo. Just another list of things that I won't do. It's been such a long time since I've had you a friend, trying to kill my winter of discontent. And I know that I'm never going to have you again, just trying to kill my winter of discontent. Poem.
Great read, Pam. Well, there's a lot to unpack into this, but there's a couple of things that stand out. The lines, kill the winter of my discontent, and there was that thought about, it's been such a long time since I've had a friend. So that's your role, your main artifice within this. And I like the separation, the song itself, Black Summer, but roiling in this one is winter. So it offers up that note of gloom and kind of darkness. So the idea of the friend, it kind of hits on that notion of always being left or abandoned. So that there's a heaviness in that flavor that rolls through this. And it rolls in, and I feel that I'm never going to meet you again. So there's this connection that was apparently strong, but it disappeared for some reason. I like the thought with alas, poor Yorick Sparks ado, a nice funny line, but it also imparts the idea of Yorick was, that line comes from Shakespeare, and it's a reference to the skull that is being held at that point in time. Alas, poor Yorick, I knew him well. And it kind of offers up the notion of death itself. And I did like the two lines back to back. To get away from me and Miss Sandra's apathy. Here's another list of some ancient Greeks. Misandrist apathy. We often hear about misogyny, but misandrist is the female equivalent, which nobody ever utters because we're not allowed. It's one of those bad words. Anyway, he hits on the thought of gods. You've got Demeter, Persephone, Hector, and Achilles sent Odysseus to see. There's an abandoning note in that one. Agamemnon, Zamora, Perseus, and the Gorgon, Belonca, and coming just to be gone. It's as if the notation is being abandoned even by the gods, because he rolls right back into it. It's been such a long time since I've seen a friend trying to kill my winter of discontent. And trying to kill my winter of discontent offers up the notion of trying to remove oneself from the planet, so to speak. It's almost a note to suicidal thoughts, especially with heroin and the Oxycontin come in, plan to bring miserable winter to its end. That notion can't stand the pain anymore. And then going back, but go on sailing on the sea of my morose insanity, maybe dream of some things I'll never see. The idea of maybe a little tidbit of light showing, and then maybe sing a song, Bang Collide with the Muse, to hang with Scooby-Doo, just another list of things that I won't do. Hope's still there, but waning a bit. And then those last two lines, it's been such a long time since I've had you, friend, trying to kill my winter of discontent. I know that I'm going to never have you again, just trying to kill my winter of discontent. The friend is almost the pain and darkness itself. It's been such a heavy note of burden that it hangs perilously in the air itself. What about you?
I like that. I like that. Awesome thoughts shared there, Rex. Yeah, there definitely is a heavy feel of depression and loneliness within this. The repetitive line, trying to get rid of my winter of discontent, trying to kill this winter of discontent, really gives it a lyrical quality. You know, despite it not having a consistent rhyme pattern, it's very lyrical. Could like be a song. I like the reference to the great bear that prowls the sky, the Ursa Major. which, you know, I was reading was a, it led to myth, a Greek mythology. It's a nymph that was turned into a bear by Zeus's wife, who, what's her name? Heroes?
Hera.
Yeah, Hera, that's it. Yeah, Hera, that's it. I'm horrible at remembering names. But anyways, you know, so that part there kind of speaks to the idea of how some friendships die because of jealousy. I also like how there's this main theme throughout this of depression, of loneliness. I did enjoy, and I got a big kick out of, Alas, Poor Yorick, Sparks a Doob, Black the Windows of My Room. It's a great turning point, but it's not only a turning point, but that and also the stanza following it. To get away from me and misandrist apathy, here's another list of some ancient Greeks. So, in other words, right in, it's like going along on somebody's journey through their mind, and they're telling you with the first couple stanzas or the first few stanzas about their depression, about this weight that they're carrying, about the pain that they're going through. And then all of a sudden, they just can't handle it anymore. So they have to distract not only you, but they have to distract themselves with humor. And I like the way it's such a jagged, sharp turn, and that works really well for what you can imagine the state of mind being. I also really liked Bane Calliope, the Muse, to hang with Scooby-Doo, just another list of things that I won't do. You know, those lines there, while they're extremely humorous, and I love any reference to Scooby-Doo. You know, I mean, Scooby-Doo and Shaggy were just a couple of great potheads, as far as I'm concerned. But I like how also that there's a sadness to that that speaks on the whole idea of what's the point of making a bucket list. Because all those things that I, you know, I want to do, I can't. And so I might as well just make a list of the most ridiculous things possible, because then at least I have an excuse to give myself of why I'm not getting them done. So just really clever lines throughout, a nice interweaving of humor and intense emotions that play off of each other. So, excellent write and very well done.
Well said. And Peewee agrees. Nice. Good call, Dan. Uh-huh. Double peace in the heart.
Awesome sauce. Very cool. Very cool. All right. Are we ready for the next music break?
Yeah.
All right. Well, then we have Knock Me Down. And here we go.
Yeah.
Nice. And what is
I know. I tell you, that was a song that had me grooving. I like that one. Very cool. All right. And up next we have Take You Down by Damn It Dave. And go ahead, Rex, and give that a read for us, please.
Take You Down by Damn It Dave. I see you riding your high horse, but brother, you have gone off course. Your ego swelled inside your head, and pride like cancer's quickly spread. Your narcissism's out of control, your narcissism's lost control, and your conceit's devoured you whole. Your highbrow eyes can't see the ground, nobody now wants you around. You sing your loud self-centered song, but you will fall before too long. The only thing that's left to do is knock you down a peg or two. Nobody likes a crowing cock, and this may come as quite a shock, but let me make this one thing clear. Your vanity's not welcome here. Your arrogance is quite a show, but there is something you should know. If you still want a single friend, your high horse ride is at an end. This neighborhood's not uppity, and we can't stand pomposity. So don't pretend you're so high class, because I will knock you on your ass. You'd best take off that unseen crown, or brother, I will take you down. I'll warn you now, it's gonna hurt to find your ego in the dirt. And boom. Nice. There's a nice roll up with that piece. All right, Pam, what do you think?
It really is. Oh, I enjoy this. First of all, you did a great read of it. You know, just wonderful rhyme and flow as always. I like the attitude in this. You know, I'm pretty darn sure I have had neighbors like this. You know, of course, you know, I'm sure I wasn't always the easiest neighbor to have, but hey, you know, it was entertaining. You know, of course, I had the type of neighbors that, you know, called the police if you had a St. Bernard on top of your roof, but wouldn't call the police if your child was on the roof. But anyways, I digress. But anyway, I like the whole main message of this, is which is putting somebody in their place. And it's somebody who shouldn't, you know, like nobody should be uppity. Nobody should be full of themselves. But when you try to act like you're better than everybody else around you, and you're really only equal to them, it's like you're fooling nobody. And that's why I particularly like the lines, this neighborhood's not uppity and we can't stand pomposity, so don't pretend you're so high class because I will knock you on your ass. Love the attitude in that. I also really like, nobody likes a crowing cock and this may come as quite a shock, but let me make this one thing clear. Your vanity's not welcome here. You know, I really like how this is the idea of somebody finally speaking up to somebody who has been acting like a narcissist, acting like they're better than everybody else. And, you know, just knocking them down a peg or two. And there's a really lot of great, like, fun, clever, like, I don't want to say cliche, but, you know, the kind of like sayings that you hear all the time, but they're not cliche because he uses them in such a creative way. Like, I see you riding your high horse, but brother, you have gone off course. And those lines are good to me because of the fact that they comment on the whole thought that there's nothing wrong with being proud of yourself for your accomplishments. Don't go overboard with it. Don't be proud about what is only in your head, you know. So excellent write and very well done, and definitely some great humor.
Yes, and one aspect, I can see this on a lot of YouTube clips. Ah, your very own and generous Karen or Kevin in the neighborhood running amok and dealing shit from one horse or another because they think they know it all and they know how to express it properly. But on the other hand, this does work with that that one impediment in the neighborhood that makes everybody else's lives such a task to actually be conjoined within that neighborhood with them, because it's always they're the one that has to have the house that's better decorated on the holidays, Halloween, Christmas, New Year's, whatever the holiday. They have to be the one that does it better than anybody else. Don't spare the expense or anything. Hey, look what I do. Yeah, it's all me. They're the ones that have to have the best gardens on the block, the greenest grass, the no weeds. Yeah, look at this. Oh, I'm so great. But the point is, no, you're just a lonely old codger trying to prove something to the world, and it really doesn't matter to anybody but you.
Absolutely. And some of those lawn ornaments, oh, my freaking goodness. I mean, I've never bought any of them, but I look in catalogs, and freaking people spend thousands of dollars to decorate. It's insane.
Hey.
But, yeah.
The yard ornament collectors.
I have this friend. She was so funny because her dad had a lawn that was covered with pink flamingos. And she used to joke around and say, if you need to find my dad. Well, it's common, you know, but not so much here in Wisconsin. In fact, I mean, you know, I see pictures of houses decorated with pink flamingos, but it's really not that common up here. So, like, she would say, if you need to find my dad's house, it's easy. It's the only yard decorated in pink with pink flamingos in Northwest Wisconsin.
The funny thing is,
but I assume that
they used to bring those into the Coliseum as sacrifices during the games. Flamingos are one of those rare exotic things they got to see being sacrificed.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, wow. That is a fun, interesting fact. I did not know that. Very cool. Very cool. Learn something new. All right. I like that.
Hold on to the next one and go to Roberts. Stelina may be calling in if she can get through.
You know what, Rex, my friend? I am already a step ahead of you, and I was already going to do that.
Cool.
Yeah, great minds think alike. All right, so we will go ahead and play the song Other Side, and here we go.
Take it on the other side.
Yes. You know, I have to say, I think that is probably one of my favorite Red Hot Chili Peppers song. In fact, I think I might actually consider writing a poem for that one just for the fun of it. Because that is just, the lyrics to that song are my favorite for sure. All right.
Well, have a sound clan.
Yes, we do. All right. So we have officially decided between me, you, and Pee-wee that the official term is a conspiracy of euphemi.
Works. Or go the other route, a conspiracy of euphemies.
Oh, there you go. I like it. All right. So up next, we have The Other Side of Sanity by Robert M. And as you said, we do have a SoundCloud for that. So here we go.
This is my recital of The Other Side of Sanity, a poem inspired by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Thoughts of anguish manifest in this wayward poet's mind, echoing the painful unrest unto which the world is blind. Spiraling deeper, stability wanes as psyche continues to break, shattering lucidity's brittle chains in the eve of lunacy's wake. The hopeful stars I wished upon as I donned Anhedonia's crown have left all the aspirations gone as they've all come crashing down. Mental Armageddon now reigns in sheets of cosmic scarlet, demolishing the cerebral planes in behest of the crimson harlot. Her savage claws flaunt their sheen as she comes to collect her dues. Who would guess this Babylonian queen was once my fickle muse? She plunges deeply into my chest to withdraw my hollowed core. At this point, I merely want to rest and do not even care anymore. I now reside in the heart of scorn, where time cannot assuage agonies that left me torn in a pit of fear and rage. Lost in terror that knows no bounds in the horrid depths of humanity, every thought painfully resounds across the other side of sanity.
Great read, Robert. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I'm glad Robert was inspired and that he wrote and, you know, and that he made a SoundCloud. That was very cool. Wonderful rhyme and flow. A strong write on depression and the effects that it has on the mind. I like the use of the word lucidities. Spiraling deeper, stability wanes as psyche continues to break, shattering lucidity's brittle chains in the eve of lunacy's wake. I also like the mental Armageddon. Mental Armageddon now reigns in sheets of cosmic scarlet, demolishing the cerebral planes in behest of the crimson harlot. You know, the whole idea of how when the depression gets so bad that you have this battle inside yourself. And all the way through this is a great line, but I also like, who would guess this Babylonian queen was once my fickle muse? Because the interesting thing about depression, at least from my personal experience with it, is sometimes you can have it and you can function, but you can only function on things like an example for me is like sometimes I can function only on running contests and writing poetry, but other times you just can't function at all. And it's interesting how the same thing can work in such vast differences. Like it, at one point, it can be the muse that brings out in you some of the most beautiful and thoughtful poetry. And then at other times, it can be this harlot, this demon spawn that just crushes your soul. So just a wonderful, emotive, dark write, beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, nice. Well said, Pam. I like it. I like that thought to anhedonia, the inability to experience pleasure in many forms, because there's a notion to that that idea within anhedonia. So it's dreaming, thoroughly debilitating, loss of appetite, no get up and go, no vigor, no zeal for anything. You kind of get lost in it as it kind of wears on you. And the Babylonian queen was a nice touch too, giving a rise, how was it, from the Bible, but also the notion of impending doom, a revelation of thoughts. And I think it was once my fickle muse, and that thought, she plunges deep into my chest to draw my hollow core. At this point, I merely want to rest. I do not even care anymore. And then the opposite angle of that, I now reside in the heart of scorn, where time cannot assuage agonies that have left me torn in a pit of fear and rage. That note of having that notion sitting there, like that crimson harlot, so to speak, that so debilitates in the moment as to demolish the cerebral planes, leaving one totally desolate and almost a field of fire. Not billowing, but waning in the moments afterwards. And then you just kind of drift off into the back angle of that. It's almost like hitting on a bipolar, that big manifesto, that way you're running high and all of a sudden you crash and burn.
Yeah, I like that thought there, the idea of the drifting off and the crash and burn. So, very cool. Great thoughts shared there, Rex. All right. Ready for the next one?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and put up the halftime funny, which is Rhythm and Rhyme, if the shoe fits, by Lawrence 67. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read, please.
Rhythm and Rhyme, if the shoe fits, by Lawrence 67. Okay, everybody, quiet down. The meeting goes. Nigel the Fat Cat and Tommy Alvey will come to order now. We have a major problem over at the Rhythm and Rhyme station.
Boss! I told Alfie not to pee in the waste bag, and he promptly did.
No, you didn't.
I did so.
Liar, liar, pants on fire?
No, it's not that. It's that we've got a big problem with our prompt choice, and we've been discovered.
No, say it ain't so. Doggone it. Hey, L67, what's a prompt?
I don't know, but apparently it's very important that Pam is on us. We're going to have to call in the big guns.
But, Nigel, can't we just bribe her like everyone else?
No, I'm afraid not.
You mean she's one of those uncorrupted goody-two-shoe types?
No, we just don't have any money.
But, Nigel, can't you explain to her that we're cats and we don't know nothing about prompts?
We can pretend we don't speak English.
Sorry, Pam, but we have no habla inglés. Nigel, you think she bought it?
Alfie, she's going for the chakra.
Oh, shit. Run, Nigel, run.
Ay, caramba. Arriba, arriba. Andale, andale. Chinga. Ay, ay, ay.
We at Lawrence 67 would like to take this opportunity to apologize to Pam Ray for the cat's shoe problems, but they have both been diagnosed with the rare form of acute throw shoe itis and are currently taking hypnosis according to their doctor's suits. Yeah, I know. I can't spell, so sue me. Ha, ha.
Alfie, no more shoes, okay? What you talking about, Willis?
And boom.
Great read there, Rex.
What do you got?
All right. Well, you... Oh, man. It cracked me up. When I read it earlier today. What's that?
Besides not besides me not keeping my voice this straight.
Oh, man. Yeah. No, you did a great read on that. You know, I like the, well, you know, I enjoy Lauren 67's sense of humor. I like how he always puts details in his rights that, you know, he pays attention and listens to the shows. And, you know, he just got some clever wordplay in here. Like, but Nigel, can't we just bribe her like everyone else? No, I'm afraid not. Oh, you mean she's one of those uncorruptible goody two-shoes types. And I also really liked the whole conversation about what's a prompt? Can't we just explain to her that we're a cat or like, this is another great part. We can pretend we don't speak English. Sorry, Pam, but we no habla de English. You think she bought it? I mean, just great humor all the way through, great use of dialect, and, yeah, definitely made me laugh and put a smile on my face. And, of course, the reference to the show, what was that, Good Times? Was it Good Times? What you talking about, Willis?
Yeah, my Good Time.
No, what was it? Yeah.
Oh, bloody hell. I can't think of it, but he's going to get the chance on the I'm Married with Children. No, I'm not that guy. And then he offers up this, what you talking about?
Yeah, no, I remember that show, the white guy who adopted the two black boys. And the older boy's name was Willis, and the younger kid, Albert, shit, I can't remember. But he was always saying, what you talking about, Willis? But, yeah, I can't remember the name. But anyways, great right.
Yes. And you notice he did pee in your waistband.
Different stroke. That's it.
And he called you goody two-shoes because you throw both the shoes at him all the time.
I know that. Well, that's why I said it was great wordplay. That's why I enjoyed that.
Yep, he's been hit upside the head sitting on the fence by at least one shoe, and while the other one was inbound, they did run down the alleyway to get out because they were singing. And you missed one a couple of weeks ago. He had Fill My Eyes in it, and he had you and me. And, oh, my, he went to town on the last one-third of that piece, and it was funny as hell. I thought Gene was going to bust again.
Oh, wow. Well, you'll have to do is send me the link, Rex, so I can read that one.
Yes, and did you notice the Dr. Sue? As in Susie? Yeah, I know, I can't spell, so sue me.
Yep, I did like that line too. That was funny. Oh, by the way, if you didn't notice, Pee-wee says in the room the show is Different Strokes.
Ah, yes. Thank you, Pee-wee. Damn, yeah, Different Strokes. Oh, Good Times is another one. So, God, it's going back.
Yeah, this is the one with JJ.
Oh, Jimmy J.J. Walker.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, that's the one with Good Times. Yeah, that actor is now doing commercials for life insurance.
And he got no hair.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Are we ready for the next song?
Yep.
All right, which will be Californication, which is another catchy one that I enjoy. So, do-do-do-do-do, here we go.
night.
Yes. Another awesome song. Very cool. Very cool. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and put my poem up, since that was loosely inspired by that song and also by another song. I think the Black Summer one. Let's see. Good morning, America. Big wake-up yawn down south. Didn't RHCP coin the phrase spoonerism? I'm not sure who coined the phrase. I just know that the term spoonerism came from somebody who had the last name Spooner, which, by the way, is the town I used to live in. So, sorry, I was reading Eric. Eric Svensson popped in into Late Night Poets.
It goes back to Archibald Spooner.
Ah, yes, yes.
Yeah,
I actually tried running a contest. Yep.
He was a clergyman and educator who often had to speak in public, but he was so nervous that his tongue frequently got tangled up. So he ended up saying some oddball things. So hence the term.
Yeah, it's like when you mix up like two different sayings. My friend Trixie, her mom, would always used to say things like the cow hit the fan or something like that.
Yeah, like tons of.
Yeah, but I actually tried doing. Yeah, right. But oh yes, and I already posted my poem. Okay, so anyways. I will go ahead and give that a read. And the wings of the swallow holds the night. I'm riding a unicorn named Strife, waiting for the end of life, riding into wordless winter with a bag of silver splinters. I'm wandering through forests dark, falling bridges killed the lark. In the wings of the swallow, I've lost myself in the hollow. Once I had soaring dreams, now I'm just a broken seam. Lost summers in a patchwork quilt, never dressed to kill the guilt. The music that plays on my phone reminds me that I'm all alone. The silence of the violent thought is crying when the witch is caught. I'm lost beyond Valhalla's halls, bouncing off the rubber walls. The moldy bread, the molded lies, shaping into broken sighs. The Pegasus and birds in flight show the long stretch of night where I am meant to live in stones, the burdened beast with weighted bones. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Like I say, that opening stanza fits the second to last stanza in that sort of unicorn, that rare and magical beast. Yeah, bag of silver splinters. I like that thought, kind of riding the bench of silver wood itself. But I'm off beyond Valhalla's halls, bouncing off the rubber walls, the moldy bread, the moldy lies, shaping into broken sides. Bouncing off the rubber wall, that does explain a lot.
Well, thank you very much.
The Cookie House.
What's that?
The Cookie House.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes, exactly. The bouncing off the rubber walls is definitely, living in the loony bin. I have to admit, I kind of stole the thought of the silver splinters from one of the prompts for our After Midnight show tomorrow. Because one of the lines I put up as a prompt was walking on gilded splinters. And I thought, well, I don't want to put gilded because that would be too obvious. And it's obvious because I'm admitting it. But I thought, well, I could put with a bag of silver splinters. And it has nice alliteration. Oh.
Yep. You had me thinking of Ted Williams, The Splendid Splinter.
Ah. Is that a song? I've never heard of it.
No. He was the most famous Red Sox baseball player, Ted Williams. The last man to hit 400.
Oh, that probably explains why I hadn't heard of it, because if it has anything to do with sports, you know, I totally, I'm not too, like, sharp on that kind of stuff, so. But thank you so much for the comment, and thank you for the inspiration.
My pleasure.
All right. Up next, we have A Black Market Nation by Poetic Creations. And go ahead, Rex, and give that a read for us, please.
A Black Market Nation by Poetic Creations. Famous movies splashed with ads, flash on the big screen, a bit of beauty is seen, while blacktop defaces earthly green. Pockets full of cash, being greedy long ago became routine. A sweet girl can be nice, but can't help but to be a little mean. Ferris wheel spins, and I get a sense of planetary rotation. Dark is this sensation. Erratic heart palpitations, eye dilation, purgatory relations, gravity serrations, and stolen elation. Exhaling salvation. Inevitable is this atomic sublimation. Vapors exist, yet I'm still fighting for my transcendence. Questionable reality, whether in the future or in the past tense, always explosive is the phenomenon. I wait in suspense, feelings of danger looming. Let this imminent battle commence. And Paul, what do you think?
This is an awesome write. Even the title is just hard hitting. A Black Market Nation, a nation that treats, you know, like the idea I even get from the title alone is the idea of a nation that treats people like objects to be sold and traded, and just it's, you know, and this has wonderful rhyme to it. I really like being greedy long ago became routine. A sweet girl can be nice, but can't help but to be a little mean. Ferris wheels spin, and I get a sense of planetary rotation. Dark is this sensation, erratic heart palpitations, eye dilation, purgatory relations. The consistency in the rhyme pattern in that stanza, and it's very surreal. It fits so well with the chosen prompt in that it has this surrealism to it, and this imagery that's extremely visceral. I really like the line, exhaling salvation, inevitable is this atomic sublimation. The idea of that atomic bomb that we hold inside of ourselves, that society holds inside of itself, I wait in suspense, feelings of danger looming, let this imminent battle commence. I feel like those end lines kind of speak on the idea of the battles that we have within ourselves, those battles that we have in order to try to understand what it is that we expect from ourselves. But just a powerful, hard-hitting lines, and definitely very well done.
Nice, thank you. I took that. A sweet girl can be nice, but can't help but to be a little mean as the earth kicking back. The Ferris wheel spins, has me thinking of pick your number. Where she goes, nobody knows, but you'll know it when it comes. It's almost that note of your number coming up in the moment. The planetary rotation, dark sensation, palpitations, eye dilation, the serration, elation. Going down to the exhalation, salvation, that offers up all of that down to there. kind of hits being lost in the moment. Exhaling salvation, kind of coming back to maybe a spiritual angle. But inevitable is this atomic sublimination. That is a combination. Because sublimation is offers up that note to turning a solid form into gas. But sublimination is two words. So the sub and elimination is kind of the atomic, the note of disbanding the molecular stature of things, so to speak. Because then he rolls into vapors exist, yet I'm still fighting for my transcendence. Almost that note to looking for that higher plane of existence, whether in the future or the past. Always explosive is the phenomenon. I wait in suspense. Feelings of danger looming. Let this imminent battle commence. So it's almost walking that, let's get the thought of revelations and Armageddon over with. So the thought to the higher plane of existence can be met. And those who are actually going to transcend to the next level can actually meet that. Instead of destroying ourselves in the moment with everything else.
Cool. I like that. And I like how you brought up and noticed the wordplay in like the word, the sublimination. And so really cool comment there. All
well,
right.
I guess Selena ain't coming on board, so we can roll with those two.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go. All works for me. Oh, I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I said since Belina hasn't called or even messaged, she's still having issues with the site, so we can roll them up.
Okay. That sounds good. Well, if you're okay with it, I already was just about to post Eric's poem, and I figured...
Oh, go ahead.
You know, we could play that SoundCloud and then jump up to Stelina.
Yep.
All right, cool. All right, so we'll do Socket But Don't Block It by Eric Svensson. And we have a SoundCloud for that. So here we go.
Socket But Don't Block It. Pink Panther Whiskers Twiddle Tweak Instagram. Virginia Slim Cheroot in Bone Cigarette Holder. Pinsnez Eyeballs Left Eye. Aforesaid and Dame Edna summoned by MI5. M gets to the point immediately. The Crown needs you for a covert operation. Investigate Red Hot Chili Peppers, a rock and roll band. Sherlock Holmes shivers slivers like Pink Panther's spine. Dame Edna flushes crimson. M gives both the titanium eye look. Socket, the code name of your covert operation. Socket, but don't block it. Bach, Beethoven, Wagner and Vivaldi. Hush, hush. Crown to be served at all costs. Titanium steel eyes exact. We've intercepted their song lyrics. You're tasked to report on their stage dress code. By Jove, Jupiter, Saturn, and all other planetary bodies, great balls of fire, ruddy, ribald, passion explodes on stage. Dame Edna singles out the bass guitar player. Verve, nerves, and balls that young man has. Pink Panther surmises her hot flushes are brought on by auto-suggestion of Red Hot Chili Peppers. Not unfamiliar with the rigor mortis of censorship, Pink Panther chooses his words carefully. Impatient, M's titanium eyes blowtorch. My lady lord, the artistic license applied by the musicians is legendary. Such ruddy, ribald, primal energy is commendable. M becomes Lady Hawk. You hail from Southern Africa, don't you? Yes, my Lady Lord. Apartheid years of rigor mortis censorship, chipped and clipped. See no evil, do no evil, hear no evil, and speak only when you're interrogated. Dame Edna coughs. Must be the confluence of tribal customs of natural showmanship. Wouldn't you say the musician's libertine dress code detracts spectators from the immersive, intriguing song lyrics? Dame Edna blushes hibiscus red, lisps lasso a ruddy, ribald stutter. But Picasso allegedly painted in the nude. M's titanium eyes suddenly soften. Dame Edna, personally, I'm all for freedom of expression. Now, the bass guitar player, would you say he's exceptionally well endowed, musically speaking? M, a musical genius who prefers to perform without the restrictions of a brass lamp corset container. M takes a genteel sip of whiskey. Oh, you mean like this Picasso painter fellow from down under? Titian's sacred and profane love does come to mind. What a scandal the painter's ruddy, ribald genius caused in 1514. M's final off the record. Monty Python is my third cousin, thrice removed. End poem.
Great read, Eric. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is much appreciated. All right, Em, what do you think?
Oh, man, I really enjoyed this one. It was just so clever with its wordplay. I like that he wrote to that picture, which, by the way, Gene and I were looking at this poem earlier. I should say mainly we were looking at the picture. And she kept asking me, is he naked? And I kept making the picture bigger. And I was like, okay, well, I've made the picture as big as I can. And I can tell you this. He might be wearing a man sock, but he's not wearing anything else. But, you know, the funny thing about this is it is a humor write, and it's a great humor write all the way through, like I said, with wonderful wordplay. But it also touch on a serious subject, which, you know, is the subject to me of censorship and how people overreact to nudity. You know, and I like how he brings in the thought of, you know, not unfamiliar with, I really like the wordplay, and not unfamiliar with the rigor mortis of censorship. Pink Panther chooses his words carefully. Impatient M's titanium eyes blowtorch. I also like where he mentions that Picasso allegedly painted in the nude. I thought that was really cool. That was a nice thing to throw in there. And, you know, a lot of artists have celebrated nudity over the centuries. You know, in fact, I think one of the best choices that All Poetry ever made was, I remember when I first started on All Poetry, you couldn't have any nudity in any of your prompts. And they changed it to you could have nudity as long as it's artistically done. Or I don't know what the exact rule is. All I know now is that you are allowed to you can't have like porn posted, but which makes sense. But you can have, you know, like classic paintings that have nudity in them. And so, you know, because there should be a celebration of the masculine figure. This is a wonderful story, right? There's so many great lines throughout. I did like the end with Monty Python is my third cousin with the nod to the full Monty. So excellent, right? Great humor and very well done.
Absolutely. I like the sardonic wit and the spoof that rolls throughout this. The Pink Panther, obviously referencing the picture, but also the Pink Panther himself, Peter Sellers, as a notable intro. MI5, you got 007, Dame Edna, the thought of Mr. Barry Humphries, an Australian comedian who is one of his characters was called Dame Edna, so the joke's rolling in on that. What else we got? The thought to offering up By Jove, a British term from way back. That sort of rigor mortis of censorship walks another tonal disguise in what it means, the sort of the double entendre angle with that one. And M's titanium eyes.
Yeah, I got that.
There's a wide-eyed view. They're in it. Damn. And let's see. And then the Dame Edna coughs, there's the allusion there to turn your head and cough, boy, for checking for hernia.
Yeah, that was great. You know what another great part was? Oh, here. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but I just got to say another great part was By Jove, Jupiter, Saturn, and all other planetary bodies, great balls of fire.
Yep. And the brand plan,
okay.
Of course, is container. Yeah. There's another angled reference. Let's see. What else we got? And the dropping of Titian's Sacred and the Profane Love does come to mind, that 1514 painting that gave people a little, oh, well, what is that? Damn. And there was a Dame Edna blushes hibiscus red, lips lasso a ruddy ribald stutter. Another little double entendre angle of, yeah, what are you blushing and stuttering over there, Dame Edna? And yeah, you're right about the Monty Python angle, not just for the full Monty, but for the Python revealed. Thrice removed.
I didn't even think about that. I like that.
And
very cool.
Removed. Yeah, that's been taken out of just a few times this evening. Have a good night, ladies.
Yep. That was fun stuff. All right. Ready for the next song?
Yep.
All right. We have Under the Bridge.
I don't ever wanna feel like I did.
Very cool.
All right.
And up next we have Remorse Refuge by Stelina. And go ahead, Rex, and give it a read, please.
Remorse Refuge by Stelina. In a miasma of melancholia, I swim in swamps of sorrow, crying out for redemption from my sadistic savior, who, with fiendish familiars, send my broken spirit flying. I eagerly embrace those soporific shackles as I spin in surreality, fleetingly soothing this imposed solitude while loathing my own impotence. Insensate, I wallow in a false sense of security and subliminal messages. Yet, I yearn for a kinder kindred to drag me, albeit screaming, from the quicksand that is strangely euphoric in its grip. My senses swirling in vague vapors of veracity, confused and lost, calling to me on days gone by when contentment didn't come with a price too high to pay. End poem. All right.
Great read there, Rex.
What do you think?
Yeah, you know, this was just beautifully written. Wonderful dark lines. On a technical level, it has a nice flow of imagery, a beautiful alliteration. I like how she starts out right away with, in a miasma of melancholia, the idea of being in that kind of environment that just pulls you down, that environment of negativity that's created within one's own spirit. I really like also, yet I yearn for a kinder kindred to drag me, albeit screaming from the quicksand that is strangely euphoric in its grip. You know, those lines there make me think about the idea of how sometimes we find ourselves either within our own mind with the sense of depression, and we can't release it, or even we find ourselves hanging out with people that pull us down, and for whatever reason, maybe because we're familiar and comfortable with them, that, you know, who we stick with, and we just really want that somebody who will, you know, come and pull us out of that situation. I like how she ends with the idea of contentment didn't come with a price that is too high to pay. I think, it's like that whole idea of, you know, riding the fence. I don't know if that's the right phrase, but, you know, contentment is just, it's being stagnant. It's not, if you're content to be somewhere, you're not moving forward. So just a really thoughtful and beautiful write, and very well done.
Nice. I like that thought with Ramos, that which is fraught with cracks, clefts, or broken shards. Something that is hard edge, so to speak. And there was something in here that I didn't really like. Robert would like this. This kind of speaks his type of language and thought, because it walks along that very same angle of not just depressive, but being embraced within this realm, because she hits on the idea, crying out for redemption from my sadistic savior, who, with fiendish familiars, send my broken spirit flying. Noting the broken spirit, but yet there's a note to flying. So there's a note to contentment rolls in with that too. And eagerly embracing those soporific shackles as a spin into reality. So there's also a note too. There's a touch of almost glee in that moment. Fleetingly soothing this imposed solitude while loathing my own impotence. Both enjoyment and hate in the moment. Let's see. But still yearning for a kinder kindred to drag me, albeit screaming from the quicksand that is strangely euphoric in its grip. So there is a note to enjoyment, yet wanting to escape. Well, contentment didn't come with a price. The price that is too high to pay. That contentment, wanting this angle, yet knowing that the back end is falling into the pit of total despair and even hellish realms. I like it, and it fits the song really well as that notation under the bridge, so to speak, maybe a little further under the bridge than one wants actually to be. All right.
I like that. All right. Well, we got three poems left,
We can skip we'll songs.
We'll skip songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So up next we have let me click on the title to actually read this better. I'm No Lone One. And you know what, Rex, because the next poem is Betty Page's, I'm gonna have you read this one. Okay.
All right. I'm No Lone One by Rain 474. Tararum-pum, until we are hum-tum, breaking the lone one, finding the someone where duo has begun to play the fireworks of fun. Tararum-pum, until we are hum-tum. Empty bed and empty heart, lonely nights and no one to fight. Deep down I know this isn't any kind of snow. Empty bed and empty heart, and the same glowing bulb, staring like a member of Fool's Club, with the wheezing wind cooing and the flying years of my growing age. Empty bed and empty heart, with the city by my side as a companion to ride, with no conditions to offer, yet always there as a deliverer. End poem. All right. Have at it. What do you got?
Well, great read there, Rex. This had a nice lyrical quality to it, especially with having the chorus of ta-rum, pum, rum, pum. It kind of reminds me of the song, The Little Drummer Boy, a rum, pum, 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 I'll play my drum for you. But I like Empty Bed and Empty Heart with the City by My Side. A great take, those great lines that draw inspiration from the song Under the Bridge, with the idea of living in a city and feeling like the city itself, personifying the city and the way that it understands you, but at the same time, leading such an empty life. I also really like, deep down, I know this isn't my kind of snow. There's got that idea of that double meaning, you know, like for me, snow, obviously there's snow, the cold stuff that's on the ground, but there's also the idea of snow being that a representation of cocaine. So really just wonderful thought-provoking lines. Like I said, a great lyrical quality to it, and very well done.
Yep. That empty bed and empty heart kind of peg the way things are going. Lonely nights, the same glowing bulb with the city by my side, that third offering hitting on that notion. It's an empty bed and empty heart, but no one's ever really lonely in a city because there's always someone nearby. But offering up the city by my side as a companion to ride with no conditions to offer, yet always there as a deliverer. So there's a note to, always having that friend in the city, so to speak, but not having to have that individual in tow, because the loan is actually almost pleasant in this notion. All right. You got Betty's, I guess.
Yep. Hold on, let me just type something out. Sorry about that. I can't type and talk at the same time. All right. So I went ahead and I sent you a message, Rex. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put up Betty's page's poem and give that a read. And you go ahead and check your message. So, all right. And this is Kiss My Peaches by Betty Page. And it goes like this. Come kiss my peaches. Need no more of your speeches. So shut the hell up. Come kiss me intense. No need to stay on the fence. Just make love to me. Give it to me. Give it up, my sweet. Sweep me right off my feet. Dazzle me with love. Come, my divine crush. Be my adrenaline rush. Thrill me with your touch. Come kiss my peaches. Fill me up with your sweetness. Twisted, juicy kiss. Bubbly as the sea. Champagne flowing endlessly, decadent hottie. Love set me ablaze, do me in most wicked ways, up all night for days. Kiss my peaches, sweet, have your vicious way with me, every desire. Be so indiscreet, decadently complete, rhythmic to the beat. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. There's a note with this. You read every third line. So, shut the hell up. Just make love to me. Dazzle me with love. Thrill me with your touch. Twisted, juicy kiss. Decadent, haughty. Up all night for days. Every desire. It's kind of a, I don't know if she made it intentional, but it kind of walks itself a little, a bit more indulgence by breaking it down
as a poem within a poem, so to speak, because this does walk the angle of definitely digging into it a little bit more since it's Come Kiss My Peaches. There's a bit more, hey, open wide and come kiss my peaches. After all, she's a decadent mother.
Yep. You know, I did enjoy this one. Of course, you know, you can't help but think of the song. Really like your peaches want to shake your tree. I actually was singing that to my kids today because they brought up peaches. And, of course, that song automatically came into my head. But like you, I noticed the message in here and the main theme. And honest to goodness, I think every once in a while, you just need to tell your partner, shut the hell up and make love to me. No talking necessary. Just shut up and do what you're supposed to do. I like the attitude and the sass in this. I really like Come Kiss Me Intense, No Need to Stay on the Fence. And I like that use of that, No Need to Stay on the Fence, Just Make Love to Me, Give It Up, My Sweet, Sweep Me Right Off My Feet, Dazzle Me with Love. You know, this is very much the mindset of somebody who knows exactly what they want. And, you know, great imagery, Kiss My Peaches Sweet, Have Your Vicious Way with Me. So, awesome line, very well done. And there will be just one carryover for next week. And that will be a collapse poem.
I'm gonna drop it. Friday's looking. It's only got six pieces. I'm gonna drop it over there since we didn't get the SoundCloud in. And
good thinking.
I'm sorry, collapse.
Yeah, good thinking. So it will go on Friday. Awesome show tonight, Rex. Great
yes.
Prompts. Great poetry.
Yeah, that was quite a chunk of some humor, dry wits, double entendre thought, and some surreality thrown into boot. So, wonderful evening. Thank you, Pam. And thank you, Robbie, Pee-wee, Eric, for hanging out on the boards. Much appreciated. And next Sunday is your choice. Bring me the blues you like. Pick a song. You can go back in time, do some Mississippi Delta. You can do some Muddy Waters. You can do some Eric Clapton. You can do some Zeppelin. You can do some Stevie Ray Vaughan or whomever you like when it comes to your favorite blues tunes. Bring it to us and share it.
I'm looking forward to that. And have a good night.
Good night, gang.